Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yuma Nun Aleph. We begin four lines from the top of the Amud. Ularav Sheshes. Now, we left off yesterday with a Braisa, which listed for us several elements which are inherent to the Zevach, the original carbon, which are not present in the Tzmura, in the duplicate. There's a Chomer that the Zevach has over the Tzmura. And likewise, we find a Chomer by Tzmura, which is not present in the original carbon, the Zevach. Now, which Chomeres are found in the original carbon as opposed to the substitute? Mishnah told us, the Braisa gave us three things. The Zevach is Noyig by Yochid and by Tzibur, as opposed to Tzmura, which is not to be found by a Tzibur. Only a Yochid can make Tzmura. Number two, the Zevach is to be brought even on Shabbos, even Betumah, as opposed to the Tzmura, because the Zevach was speaking about something that has a Izman Kavur, a set time, which is Deicha Shabbos, Deicha Tzmura, as opposed to a Tzmura, presumably has no set time, no set, a fixed, appointed Zman. And therefore, it's not Deicha Shabbos or Tzmura. And thirdly, the original carbon can generate a Tzmura, as opposed to the Tzmura, which is already a copy. A duplicate can't generate another duplicate. Now, we were searching for a possible a candidate. Which carbon conforms to all these things? And the Gemara says it can't be a carbon yachid, it can't be a carbon. What's going on? The Gemara suggested perhaps Parka and Gadol, and Rav Sheshes took a different route. Eloi Shel Aharon. We're speaking about the Eulah that Aaron HaKoyin or any Kohen Gadol will bring in Yom Kippur, which fits the bill. It's an Eulah which can be brought by Yachar or B'tzibur. Since it's a carbon that has a set time, it's Deicha Shabbos or Tumah, and since it's his own personal carbon, his own personal kapara, the Kohen Gadol that is considered a carbon Yachar, in which case it is Oiseh Tzmura. That's where we left off. Says the Gemara four lines from the top. We don't understand why Rav Sheshes had to suggest Eloi Shel Aharon as the possible solution. Ademukim la be'Eloi Shel Aharon, instead of applying the Braisa to Eloi Shel Aharon, which isn't really a Zevach. The Braisa speaks about the Chomer that is found by a Zevach. Eloi Shel Aharon is not described anywhere as a Zevach. So instead of that, explains Tosfos, which doesn't seem to fit the description, let's find something which does conform to Zevach, where the term Zevach is used to describe that carbon which is Lukma Pesach. Why doesn't he apply the Braisa to carbon Pesach, which is called Zevach? Zevach Pesach. And Pesach fits the bill perfectly. It contains all three elements. Zech has a Shabbos v'satuma. It's a carbon that has a set time, overrides Shabbos or Tumah. V'ois a Tumura, the carbon Yachidu. It can generate Tumura because it's a privately brought carbon. Everybody brings their own carbon Pesach. It's not a carbon Tzibur. And the third element as well explains the Tzayz Yishanim. The third condition here, that it's Noyig B'Tzibur Kibbe Yachid, also applies to carbon Pesach. The question is how? Carbon Pesach is a private carbon. True, everybody brings a carbon Pesach, but it's your own personal carbon. Why would we describe it as a carbon Tzibur? Tzayz Yishanim says, perhaps the following Shitas Rabbi Nosson, and Gemara Pesachim says that technically all of Yisrael can join together and own one carbon Pesach, despite the fact there isn't enough basar to go around. It's okay. Achilas Pesachim is not me'akev. So we find a concept of Tzibur by carbon Pesach, should they all decide to bring one carbon together. So what if Sheshes had to offer Eloi Shel Aharon as a possible candidate for the Braisa? Why couldn't he apply the Braisa to Pesach? Zevach Pesach, which contains all three elements. Answers the Gemara Kosavar. Apparently this Braisa holds, or if Sheshes holds, that Ein Sheichten HaPesach Al HaYochid. We follow the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Mar Psachim, who is from Pasuk, Lo Yisucha Liz Boyech Asa Pesach Be'echad, to teach us that you can't bring the Pesach on your own. You have to have company. It needs to be at least two people joining together on the Karban Pesach, in which case it's no longer a Karban Yochid. Rather, it's a partnership, a Karban Shutfin, not a Karban Seber. It's not a communal Karban, but you need a partnership. More than just one person bringing the carbon, in which case you can't make a tamura. So it won't have that element of tamura. And that's why Rav Sheshes opted to apply the brisa to Eila Shel Aron, which is considered a carbon yachid, rather than Pesach, which is not. V'nuk maybe Pesach Shein? Fine. Pesach Rishon doesn't work. Why can't he apply it to Pesach Sheini, which is certainly something brought even by an individual? Pasuk says, Ish ki atami. Even one person on his own can bring a Pesach Sheini. Says, Gemara, midachi tuma? Why would you think it's deichet tuma? The Gemara soon will bring a shita that Pesach Sheini is not deichet tuma. Which means if a person, for some reason, couldn't bring Pesach Rishon, he's up to Yudal Be'ir, he wants to bring the second Pesach, if he's tuma, you can't bring it. And therefore, you can't apply the brisa to Pesach Sheini. Although it's something which applies to Yochid and Tzibur, so that element is there, meaning the concept of Pesach is applicable to Yochid and Tzibur. You can bring it with Tzibur as well, as we explained a minute ago. All of Yisrael can bring a Pesach. So in concept, Pesach, even Pesach Sheni, is something which it applies to Tzibur. Right? The concept of Pesach, whether Rishon or Sheni, applies to Yochid and Tzibur. And it's a carbon yachid in this case, so he can make a tamura. And it's doicha Shabbos, but not doicha tuma. Therefore, the Mishnah apparently is not speaking about Pesach Shein. Fine. So that's the end of this discussion. We had a brisa, which gave us a list of chumrays found by Zevach, the original carbon as opposed to the duplicate carbon. The three elements were, we have yachid and tzibur, that applies to only the original carbon. Only a zevach can be a yachid and a tzibur, but a tumur cannot, because you can't have a tumur but tzibur. Number two, the original carbon is doicha Shabbos v'tumah, but not the tumura. And thirdly, the original can generate a tumura, as opposed to a tumura. Once he's a copy, he can't duplicate himself further. What are we speaking about? Rav Sheshes suggested we're speaking about Eilei Shel Aron, which conforms to all three things. The Gemara proceeds with another discussion. Let's go back to that Mishnah, back on Nun Amar Aleph. A Mishnah in Meseches Tumura, which presented the guidelines for when a Karban will have the ability to be Doicha Shabbos V'Tumah. And we had Rabbi Meir, who gave us a list. Three examples of Karbanos Yachid, although they're private karbanos, they can be Deicha Shabbos V'Tumah. The three things were Pariyah Mekippurim, Chavitei Kohen Gadol, and Karban Pesach. They're karbanos yachid, but they're still Deicha Shabbos V'Tumah because they have a set zman. Rabbi Yaakov, on the other hand, gave us a list of three examples of karbanos tzibur which are not Deicha Shabbos V'Tumah. What are the three things? Par Helam Davashal Tzibur, Seiri Avedei Zarah, and Karban Chagiga, which we bring on Yom Tov. These are Karbanos Tzibur, which are not Doicha Shabbos V'Tumah. Now we have a shaila on that Mishnah. Omalei Rav Huna Brei Devshul Rav V'Tana. Let's go back to that Tana, that Mishnah. Ma'ishna Pesach Dekori Le Karban Yachid. Why is it that when it comes to Pesach, he considers it a Karban Yachid? Presumably because publicly funded carbon. It's a chiv on the yachid to bring. So it's called carbon yachid. Umayish no chagiga de kari la carbon tzibur. As opposed to chagiga, although so similar to carbon pesach, it's something which is incumbent on the individual. It's not funded by the, through Trumas Halishka, it's not publicly funded. And still in all, we see the Mishnah describes it as a carbon tzibur. Right? In the first list of Karbanos Yachid, we have Pesach. Amongst the second list, amongst the second list of Karbanos, we find Chagiga, which is considered a Karban Tzibur. Why that difference? Is it because the Karban Chagiga is brought when there's a gathering of Yisraelim, meaning Rashi says, Birgolim, Yom Tov time, the multitudes are there. So although it's your individual Karban, but it's brought in tandem with everybody else. That's why we regard it as a Karban Tzibur. Pesach Nam, Yasu B'chnufya. Same thing applies to Karban Pesach. You bring it Beregel, Karban Pesach certainly brought with the Rabbim all together in the Azara. So why is Pesach Karban Yachad? Ike Pesach Sheni, Deli Yasu B'chnufya. True, Pesach Rishon is brought together with everybody else, but not Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is something which you bring on your own. The few individuals that are Tamei, they'll bring Pesach Sheni. It's not something which is Bekinufia, it's not something which is brought Beregel with the multitudes, with the crowd. So the Mishnah, when referring to Pesach, was referring to both varieties, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. And since we had Pesach Sheni in mind as well, which is not something but Bekinufia, therefore we chose to place Pesach in the first list, within the category of Karbanos Yachid, to allow for and to include Pesach Sheni as well. Says the Gemara, okay, having said that the Mishnah had Pesach Sheni in mind as well. And the Mishnah is telling you that all these items are Doicha Shabbos V'Tumah, including Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Then let it be Doicha Shabbos V'Tumah. Amar Leis, he says to him, Im Kain, if this is the way you learn that Mishnah, so when we say Pesach is Doicha Shabbos V'Tumah, we're including even Pesach Sheni. Im Kain, he had Doicha Shabbos V'Tumah. Do you mean to say that Pesach Sheni can override Shabbos or Tumah? Amar Leis, he says, yeah, absolutely correct. K'man Dama Dachi, this Mishnah actually holds its Doicha, in line with the Shita of the Tanakhama, which we're going to see soon, actually Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even Pesach Sheni is Doicha Tumah. So this is in contrast with the previous Gemara, which concluded that the Braisa on Nunam Abay is held differently, that Pesach Sheni is not Doicha Tumah. No, Pesach, the Mishnah on Nunam Alaf held differently. It is Doicha Tumah, the Sanya. Pesach Sheni Doicha Shabbos, Ve'ena Doicha Tumah. Tanakama holds, sure, Pesach Sheni can override Shabbos, just like Pesach Shina. Rishon has that ability. It's a carbon which is meant to be brought in an appointed time, Kabbalah Izman, B'mayadai, it's Deicha Shabbos. But not Tumah. Ve'ene Deicha Tumah. Rabbi Da'imer, Av Deicha Tumah. Should the owner be Tamei during the Zman of Pesach Sheni, too bad, he'll bring it to Tumah. My time of the Tanakama. What's the Pshat the Tanakama? Who holds that, although it's Deicha Shabbos, but it's not Deicha Tumah. What's the Pshat? How can you differentiate between one and the other? Usually they go together. But Mi'adah teaches us, bring it in its set time, despite the prevailing circumstances of Shabbos or Tumah, which usually negate and interfere with the Akrobas of Karb. No, this is Mi'adah. So what's the difference between Shabbos and Tumah? Amar Lach, he says like this, B'pnei Tumah Dechisa. Why did he fail to bring the Pesach Rishon? Because of Tumah. Right? V'yasa b'tumah. Could you suggest that I should go ahead and now do a b'tumah? The whole reason why he didn't bring it earlier is because of tumah. So how could he bring a b'tumah now? Torah doesn't want him to bring a b'tumah. And some farshim say that this refers to even a case where the reason why he failed to bring earlier was not because of Tumah, because of views, but the Erech Chayka or whatever other reason exempted from Pesach Rishon. But still, the very fact that we see that the Torah does not want a Tumah to bring Pesach Rishon, what does that tell you? It tells you a Tumah is not meant to get involved in the Pesach. So just as he can't bring a Tumah by Pesach Rishon, if he's a Yachid, he can't bring a Tumah. Who adin Pesach Sheni as well. For Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda responds like this. Amakra, the Pasuk says, Kechol Chukasa Pesach Asu Oisei. It's referring to the Pesach Sheni. It's meant to follow the same guidelines as Pesach Rishon, the same rule that applies. Pesach Rishon applies to Pesach Sheni, afilu betumah. Just like Pesach Rishon will be brought betumah if necessary, meaning if most of Yisrael are tameh, you bring a betumah. Therefore, says the Yehuda, the Torah is allowing us to bring Pesach Sheni betumah as well. If there's no other option, sure. L'chatchila, we try to do it b'tahara. HaTorah hechzira olav la'asayse b'tahara. The Torah sought to enable him to bring it b'tahara. Therefore, if a yachr is tamei during Pesach Rishon, don't bring it now. Wait and see, perhaps you'll have the ability to bring it b'tahara the second time around. But lo yizacha, if he wasn't zeicha to bring it b'tahara, of course he has sena b'tumah. You shouldn't just ignore the chiv. You shouldn't just lose that opportunity altogether. Of course you should bring a betumah. Explains Tosfos. What's the svara of the machlekes? All agree that the pasuk says, "K'chol chukas haPesach yasu oisim." The same rule that applies to Pesach Rishon applies to Pesach Sheni. And that's a Rebbe's svara. So what does Tana Kama hold? Says Tosfos is very poshut. Tana Kama holds. Yeah. When is Tuma Doicha Pesach Rishon? When most of the Tzibar are Tomei. When most Yisrael are Tomei, they do it Betuma. That's not the case here. We're speaking where most Tzibar were Tar. They brought Pesach Rishon. This individual happened to be Tomei, in which case he couldn't bring Pesach Rishon. He had to wait for the second time around. We don't find, says Tanakam, we don't find that a yachid could bring a betumah in this case, because the equation, the similarity to Pesach Rishon is really not a similarity at all. The allowance of bringing a Pesach Rishon betumah is speaking on most Yisrael tamei. But here, that's not the case. So you can't compare the two things. Therefore, says Tana Kama, the fact that the Torah pushes him away from Pesach Rishon, doesn't want him to bring a betumah, that indicates to us that he shouldn't be bringing a betumah altogether, even the second time around. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, explains Tosfos, that we make that hekesh like this, just like Pesach Rishon, is ein bata legamri. The Torah makes sure, under all circumstances, there will be a Pesach Rishon. Right? Even if most Yisrael are tamei, we still bring Pesach Rishon betumah. The Torah wants the Pesach procedure to happen regardless of the situation. And we'll draw a parallel to Pesach Sheni as well. This is his second chance, his last chance. Leibotel legamra. We have to ensure that he doesn't lose that opportunity. Pesach Sheni cannot be cancelled completely. So if the only way for him to bring it is betumah, so be it. You see, Rabbi Yehuda views the second Pesach as an extension of the first. Right? Moram Pesachim says, you only bring the second Pesach when a tzibur brought the first. It's not an independent thing. So perhaps the svara here is, Pesach is eternal. It has to happen. It can't be bought. If it says Rabbi Yehuda, just like Pesach Rishon, it's not bought to Legamri. So even if most Tzibur are Tami, you still bring it. There has to be a Pesach Rishon, regardless. Hu Adin, the second opportunity, the backup, the Pesach Sheni, has to come about. If you can't bring it, Betumah. The Betara, bring a Betumah. Now the Gemara begins with another discussion, unrelated to the previous. You may recall, yesterday we had a shayla presented by Rabbi Elazar, the Amoraim. The Par Kohen Gadol, which is funded by the Kohen Gadol, but benefits his fellow Kohanim as well, is Mechaper al Echav HaKohanim. What gedur does it have? Is it a Korban Yachid? In which case, the concept of tzmura is applicable. It's only applicable to a karbon yachid. The pasuk says, "Vim homer yomer." It has to be a yachid. On the one hand, perhaps since echav kahanim are benefiting from it, they have a kapara from it. They're considered partial owners. They have a share in the karbon, just as he does, and therefore it's considered a karbon ashutfin. In which case, you can't go ahead and generated tmura from this carbon. That was Reblezer's child. Meaning we know he pays for it. That's a given. We know they get kapara. That's also a given. The question is, how to view their kapara. Are they primary owners? Do they have a chelik in the carbon for kapara, and therefore it's a shutfin? Or do we say they're just secondary? They get the kapara in a tafel manner. It sort of trickles down from him all the way to them. The Gemara uses the lashon of mikufya. They're just floating above him. He's the primary meskaper. He's the primary owner. They're just residual recipients. They're not really bali hakarbon. In which case, it's his. It's called the carbon yachid, and tzmura will apply. So that was the shaila presented by Rabbi Elazar. Says the Gemara, but typically, now why can't you just conclude as follows? Why can't you have clarity on the shaila? Of course, it's his. Da'ashuloy amar achmana. Torah says, v'hikr v'aron es parachatas ashuloy, it's his. Mishaloy umevi. He pays for it. Why would you think they have a chelik in it? Fine, they get a kapara, but they're not owners. The sanya, ashuloy. Actually, we have the word ashuloy repeated three times throughout the parsha. And we darshan as follows. Ashaloi tells us, Mishaloi humevi, v'lai mishal tzibur. It's funded via his funds, and not publicly funded. Yachayl lo yavi mishal tzibur. Perhaps, yeah, tzibur won't pay for it. Shein atzibur miskaper boy. Because the public at large have nothing from it. They have no kapara from it. Their kapara is derived from the Sarah Mishtaleach. So of course, they wouldn't pay for this. Why should it? Aval yavi mishal echav kehanim, or perhaps it should be paid for by his fellow kehanim. Sharei echav kehanim is covered by, because they do have anah from it, they get kapara from it. Right, the first video is for himself and his family. Second time around, he's misvada for his fellow kehanim. Perhaps I would think that they have to contribute. Talmud Leimar, the Torah repeats again, Asher loy, to tell you. Not only doesn't the tzibur pay, neither do the kehanim. Yochel lo yavi, perhaps they're not mechuyev to pay. They shouldn't pay for it. V'mehevi kasha, but if they decided to contribute, it's still okay, it's kasha v'dievet. Taimer lo meshuv, we have yet a third time where the Torah says ashaloi. Shina hakasav olav la'akev. There's a general formula whenever the Torah repeats something. It's telling you absoluteness. If they contribute, it's possible. Explains the Tosfos Yeshanim. We assume, since we have three phrases of Ashaloi, the first one is, don't take from the Tzibur. Second one is, don't even take from the Kehanim. And the third one is coming to tell you, La'akiv. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, what's your Shaila? Are they owners? Are they not owners? Of course they're not owners. Explains the Ritzvah, because the very fact that Torah takes the trouble to repeat over and over, it's his, it's absolutely his, without any deviation. Otherwise it's possible. That's indicative of the fact that he's the exclusive owner here. It's a carbon yachid. Torah wants it to be dafke his, without them having a real chelik here. Sure, they get a kapara, but it's just mikufya. It trickles down to them, but it's not indicative of their share in the carbon itself. Torah wants it to be his and only his. So what's your shaila? Says more of the Tamech, now according to your way of reasoning, it's absolutely his. Then how do you understand that they'll get kapara? Echav kehanim, ilav de konu begave, his fellow kehanim, if not for the fact that they do actually have some sort of share in the carbon. How then would they get kapara? If it's not yours, how could you get kapara from this carbon? So you must say, Eloshani, Begozadar. You must say the Begozad, the treasure house of Aaron, meaning the Kohen Gadol's funds, was reappropriated by Hashem for the sake of the Kehanim. The Afgere Rachmana Gabi Echav Kehanim. The Torah, so to speak, grants the Kehanim a share in the Kohen Gadol's money. Gives it away to them. Allows them. Is mazaka them. A chelik in the Karm. to allow for the kapar on the carb. Okay. Says the Gemara, Hachaga b'tmur nami. That's the case. Once you've arrived at that conclusion, although really it's his, the Torah gives it away to them. So perhaps take it a step further. Hashem actually gives them a chiluk in the carbon, an ownership, a bailus, they have a share in the carbon. Hachaga b'tmur nami. If so, pertaining to the Ach of Tmur as well. Shani because of the iron. The funds belonging to iron was given to the Kehanim. The Afkir Rachman, Hashem made an Hefker. Gabi Echav a Kehanim. To the Kehanim, meaning with respect to granting them a chelk in the carbon, Hashem gave it away to them. And was Makna, Mazaka to them, a chelk in the carbon. In which case we can say perhaps that not only do they get a residual kapar, agav the Kohen Gadol, no, perhaps the fact that they have kapar is indicative of their actual balus in the carbon. They have a share in the carbon. They're primary owners. It's a carbon shutf, in which case you can't make tomorrow. So that's where Blazat Ashaila. Is it or is it not? Meaning, all agree, he pays for it. All agree, they get kapar. How did they get kapar? It's not theirs. Can't be mischaper with somebody else's car. Apparently, the Torah gives it away to them as well. Lets them have a share. Shailas, to what extent were they granted a share? Was it just a secondary agav share, which allows for some sort of kapar to take place for them as well? Or did the Torah actually give them a chelik in the carbon? They have a kinyan, in which case it's considered a carbon on shutfin, and tmura is not applicable. Continues the Mishnah. Hoye mahalach beichel. Ken Gadol is holding on to the machta with coals in his right hand, the kaf with the keteris in his left, and he's heading westward through the heichal towards the kodesh hakadosh. Hayim mahalach beheichal asher magia lebein shtei aporiches, until he arrives between the two curtains, hamavdilos ben hakodesh ben kodesh hakadosh, which separate between the heichal, which is called kodesh, and the kodesh hakadosh and beyond. There are two curtains there, ubenein amma. In between the curtains, there's a space of an amma. So you'd have to walk through the first one, go in between, and then go through the second one as well. Rabbi Yosi, Eimer, loy, hoyse sham ela pareichas achas b'lavad. There were no two curtains. There was only one pareichas between Heichel and Kodesh HaKadosh. Eimer pasuk, shenema, hivdila pareichas lachem. The one single pareichas will form that separation. Ben HaKodesh, Ben Kodesh HaKadosh. How do you get two parochas? Shaper ka'amar lu Rabbi Yisrael Rabbanon. Rabbi Yisrael seemed to present a valid argument to the Rabbanon. There's only one parochas described in the Pasuk by the Mishkan and the Midbar. Where do you get two parochas? Rabbanon amri lach. Rabbanon respond. Yeah, we know about that Pasuk, but that only applied to the Mishkan. Hani mili be Mishkan. Over there, we had one curtain to separate between two zones. Aval b'Migdash Sheni. When it came to the second Beis HaMikdash, things changed a bit, which necessitated a double pareichas. Why? Kivan d'loy havoy amatraksin. Since the wall, which was an amathik, which was situated between the Heichel and Kodesh HaKadoshim during the Bayis Rishon, was called the amatraksin. That didn't exist during Bayis Sheni. Uve Migdash Rishon hu davoy. That wall was only present during the first Beis HaMikdash. And since now we have an empty spot, an Amma thick, we weren't sure how to classify it. V'yistabka lehu l'rabbanon. Rabbanon weren't sure. That is suffic. Biktu shose regarding its status. Ike lefnim, ike lechutz. Is it regarded as part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or part of the Heichel. And as a result of that uncertainty, v'avod shtei pareichas, they arranged a double pareichas arrangement, one on either side of that amma, to account for all possibilities. If it's considered part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so we have a pareichas on the outside of that amma. If that amma is considered part of the Heichel, we have another pareichas on the inside of that amma. So that explains why we need a double pareichas. Now Rashi and Farshim explain the background to this Gemara. What happened between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? I say it like this. The Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim in the first Beis HaMikdash was shorter, only 30 amas tall, in which case it allowed for a wall to be built between Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim. A wall which was an amma thick, 30 amas high. And that was the amma traxim. Traxim, by the way, is a joint word. Lashon pnim v'chutz, Rashi says. Perhaps it means trak is in and sin is outside. Tzitz has another pshat. Traxim is lashon truke gali. Lashon of shuttering the gates. So trak, this wall, is shuttered. It's closed off the area beyond it. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, where sin, where the Lucha is coming from Sinai, were contained. In any case, this Amma wall was called an Amma Traxim. And that was present during Bayis Rishon. There's no issues during Bayis Rishon. There was a wall, it's Pashit. What happened was that the Navi instructed them to build the second Beis HaMikdash taller than the first Beis HaMikdash. The Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim structure was actually 100 Amas high. And that didn't allow practically for building an amatraxon, because a wall which is 100 amas high would not support itself properly if it was only an amma wide. And they couldn't go ahead and widen the wall. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash is meant to follow, meant to conform to very specific instructions. They couldn't change the dimension, they couldn't change the thickness of the wall. So they decided to do away with the wall altogether. Instead, they hung up a curtain. Problem is, once they did away with that wall, that created a suffix. How do we view the makom of that wall? Is it part of the Heichal, the outside, or is it part of Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside? Weren't sure. So while there was a wall, there was no shayla. A wall is a wall. It occupies that space. It makes no difference halakhically how to view it. But once there's no wall, we have to hang up a curtain on which side of that amma? Oh, we have to hang up that curtain. Because the curtain is meant to create that separation between outside and inside. Now, what's outside or what's inside? Is this amma space belong to the outside, in which case you hang the curtain on the inside of that amma, or is it considered part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in which case you can't curtain on the outside of that amma to incorporate that amma to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So which way do we do it? It was a suffix. The Stapkulu Rabban had a suffix, B'kdushasi, regarding the Kedusha of this amma traxon, which was no longer a wall, just an empty space. Ikilifnim, Ikilachutz. Is it part of the Lifnim, or part of the outside? Kilachutz, V'abishte Pereches. And that necessitated two Pereches being hung up in that location. One on the inside, one on the outside. So in case the amma belongs to the inside, you have a pareches right on the outside of that amma, which incorporates the amma to the Kodesh HaKadosh. If the amma belongs to the Heichal, you have a pareches on the inside. And now you can regard the amma as part of the outside. So does Rav Yossi hold? Apparently, it says Tosfos Rav Yossi hold, it wasn't a suffix. It was pashut to him that the Kedusha of that makim was part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you have one pareches at the outer edge of that amma, which incorporates that amma to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a simple pshat Tosfos. Tosfos has another mahalach, which is a bit more complicated. He says the machlekes was as follows. Rabbi Yossi held was also a suffix. But a simple solution is create a pareches, which is an amma in thickness, and hang it right over that area. Whereas the Rabbanon held, you can't do that. Why? Says Tosfos, because the Rabbanon hold that a pareches is meant to initiate the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the pareches must be hung at the beginning of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? So since you don't know where Kodesh HaKadoshim begins, you must hang two pareches. So you have the Amma. This is the Heichal. This is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you have to hang one pareches at the beginning of that Amma, which would theoretically begin the Kedusha of Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then, just in case the Amma belongs to the Heichal, you have to have another pareches beyond that Amma, in which case that pareches would initiate the Kedusha of Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you have to have two. So Rabbi Yossi holds, the pareches doesn't have to initiate the Makam Kadosh. It's just a mazel. It's a separating factor between this Makam and that Makam. Therefore, he says, just hang up a Bereches, which was Oivi Amma, an Amma thick, right on that Amma space. Either way, you're okay. Even if the Amma belongs to the outside, you're still okay, because you have a Bereches separating between two areas. So that explains the Machlokes in the Mishnah. Between Rabbi Yossi says, who says it was only one Bereches, was Rabbanu maintain there were two curtains hung on that spot. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in a Brice. Okay, the Kohen Gadol is on his way to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What route does he take? Now, when you enter the Heichal from Mizrach, going towards Ma'ariv, to your right you have the Shulchan, which was Betzafin. To your left you have the Menorah, which was Bedarim. And somewhere in the middle you have the Mizbeach. Which route did he take as he headed to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? We have a three-way machlok. It's Tanu Rabbanu. Bein Mizbeach leMenorah Yimalach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rida maintains that he walked along the left side of the Heichal, between the Menorah, which was on the left, and the Mizbeach, which was in the middle. So he took a leftward approach. Rabbi Meir Eimer, Bein Shulchan leMizbeach. He took the right lane, between the Shulchan, which was Betzafin, and the Mizbeach, which was in the center. V'yesh Eimer, we have a third Shita, Bein Shulchan leKoisel. He took an extreme lane. He walked along the right-hand wall, which was the Tzafan wall, between the wall and the Shulchan, which was likewise Betzafan. So it's either extreme right, or slightly right, or slightly left. Man Yesh Oimrim, who is this man? The Omar Yesh Oimrim? Omar of Chiz Rabbi Yosi. This is Rabbi Yosi. The Omar Pischa Betzafan Kai. He held there was only one Pareches. In which case, the right corner, the Tzafan corner of that Pareches, was hooked up, slightly open to provide an entranceway for the Kohen, who would walk along the Tzafan. Tzafan was more chashiv. And being as such, Rabbi Yosi maintains, instead of taking a circular route, just go directly to Tzafan. Turn right, go along the wall between the Kaisel and the Shulchan, and head straight to the Pesach and that curtain which was Betzafan. Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Pischa Bedarim Kai. Rabbi Yehuda holds, like the Rabbanan, there's a double Pareches there. An outer one and an inner one. The inner Pareches was open Betzafan, on the right side. But the outer Pareches, through which the Kohen had to walk first, was lifted on the left side, Bedarim. The Mishnah later will describe exactly how he would enter and walk between the Pareches. That's the way it was. We have an inner Pareches, we have an outer Pareches. The outer Pareches was hooked up on the left side, Bedarim. And the inner one was hooked up itself. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, go towards the left, towards the Pesach, which was Bedarim. So that explains Rabbi Yosi, who says he went to the right, directly to the Pesach Betzafin, which Rabbi Yehuda says he took a left lane. For Rabbi Meir Kiman Svirli, how do you explain Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says that he went towards the right, but not all the way to the right. Ik Rabbi Yehuda Svirli, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, as far as the Pareches arrangement, Neil Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't he take Rabbi Yehuda's route? Ik Rabbi Yosi, follows Rabbi Yosi's Shita, Svirli, Neil Rabbi Yosi. Why wouldn't he take Rabbi Yosi's route? Says him with Oilim Rabbi Yosi Svirli. Certainly, he followed Rabbi Yosi's Shita, there was only one Pareches, which was lifted to the right, but suffered. Why then does Ramea say that he didn't take the extreme right lane? Rather, he went between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, which was towards the right, but more in the center than Rabbi Yosi. Vamalach, he was blocked. There was a barrier on the right side. Shulchan is Tzafan V'dar Menachem. The Pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech introduced 10 additional Shulchanes to the Heichal. In addition to the Shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu did, he added another 10. The question is how they were positioned. He held they were positioned from right to left, from Tzafan to Darim. Umafisakale Shulchan. In which case, his Shulchan created a hefsek. He couldn't just walk through in that right area. V'lemis Ayle, he couldn't get through between the Kaisel and the Shulchan. It was all lined up with tables. And therefore, he had to find his way around those tables. So he took a rightward route, but between the Shulchan Ois and the Mizbeach, which wasn't the center. Another pshat would be Lo'olam Mizrach U'Ma'ariv Menachem. Perhaps the Shulchan Ois was situated from east to west, so it didn't really block off his route. He could have walked the same way Rabbi Yosi walked between the wall and the Shulchan Ois, because they were lined up east to west, lengthwise along the Heichal. It didn't block his route. So why then does Rabbi Meir prefer this route? Why didn't he walk directly along the right wall to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because of the Shechina, which is present in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Rabbi Meir held, it's not derechez, lavarech ara lemeila hedya, to walk along the wall directly in front of the Pesach to Kodesh HaKadoshim, and all the while view the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore he says, take a bit of a longer route, a little bit of a roundabout route, go towards the right, but go more towards the center right, and then work your way towards the right. This way you won't be gazing at the Kodesh HaKadoshim all along. Rabbi Yosi Amalach. What does Rabbi Yosi do with this concern? Amalach, he says, on Yom Kippur, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shlo Yitzricha Nakasa L'Shlich. Ashi learns that Klal Yisrael adhere to Hashem. They don't need a shliach when they wish to daven to Hashem. Every yid can have a personal connection to Hashem. Can just get up and daven to Hashem without any shliach. And therefore, Rashi explains, due to that chavivus, especially on Yom Kippur, King Gadol, who represents Klal Yisrael, who are dear to Hashem, he just walks straight in, directly to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, without employing any additional measures of formality or etiquette. Rabbi Chanan learns a bit differently. He says, Yom Kippur, we find that the Kohen Gadol wouldn't need a me'il with those dangling bells, which would generally serve as an announcement to announce his arrival. We don't need that shliach. We don't need that announcement. He just comes in unannounced, so to speak. And therefore, says Rabbi Yosi, likewise, he can take a direct route straight into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Says Rashi up on top, L'meil lehedya. Rabbi Meir says, it's not the recherz to walk directly. Leilich eitzla kaisla tzvayni, to walk along the right side, the right wall. Kol eruch ha-heichal v'chol sho einav nizoynus beis kodesh ha-kadoshim derech ha-pripa she-kenegde. And all along, he's going to be gazing into the Kodesh HaKadoshim through that lifted curtain. It's not the recherz. Rabbi Yosi Amar Lach, no, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shlo Yitzrichan HaKasa L'Shliach, El Kol Echad V'Echad Mespal Al Atzmoy, Shnemar, Asher Yedun Ish Negel Levavoy, Uperes Kabav Al Abayis Hashem, Azeh, Shlomo Melech Davened, that Hashem accept all the tefillahs of Yisrael. Every individual has the ability to approach Hashem directly without any appointments, without any representation. Hilkach Chavavu Shluchan L'Kanas L'Pumi. Likewise, their Shliach on Yom Kippur is Chavav to Hashem, and he doesn't need to follow any formalities. He just walks straight in without any concerns. And therefore, Rabbi Yosi says, walk along the right wall directly in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in short, we have three shittos. As to the route employed by the Kohen Gadol, walking the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have Rabbi Yosi all along the right wall, straight in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If our mayor says, he took a right center route between the Shulchan Ois and the Mizbeach, for one or two reasons, either the Shulchan Ois blocked his route, so he had to veer towards the center, or because walking directly would be considered a lack of derech eretz. Rabbi Yudan, on the hand, says there were two pareches, in which case the pareches closer to the Kohen Gadol was lifted on the left side. Therefore, he would walk towards the left, between the Mizbeach, which was in the center, and the Menorah, which was towards the left. Says him one more kasha. Rabbi Yehuda nami nail be menorah l'kaisel. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda just take a direct route along the left wall between the menorah and the kaisel directly to the paroiches? Meshachri money. You see, the menorah, which was right near the kaisel, blackened the wall, and the kengel had to keep away from that. Otherwise, meshachri money, his money, his clothing, his be the kuna would become blackened with soot. Therefore, we prefer that he walks not between the menorah and the wall, but between the Mizbeach and the menorah. So he took a leftward route, but not extreme left, rather center left. Okay, let's just review the main points we learned today. We discussed that Pesach Sheni, just as Pesach Rishon, is Deicha Shabbos. As far as being Deicha Tuma, there are machlekes, some say yes, some say no. The Parkein Gadol was paid for by the Kein Gadol. Echav HaGehanim received kapara from it. The question is, was it considered a shutfis, or was it still strictly his? But Hashem gives them kapara as a sort of secondary kapara. It's not indicative of their ownership, in which case it's still Karban Yachid. And the question is regarding Tmura. If it's a Karban Yachid, you can make Tmura. Otherwise, you can't. And we left it unresolved. The Mishnah described the Kohen Gadol walking towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. According to Rabbanon, there were two Paroiches. Now in the Mishkan, of course, there was only one. In the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon was a wall which occupied that Amon. Beis HaMikdash HaSheni did not have a wall. And the Chacham had a Suffolk. Was it part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or was that Amon part of the outside? So they hung two curtains. One on the outside of the Amon, one on the inside, to account for all possibilities. Rabbi Yossi says no. He only had one curtain, according to one Pshat of Tosfos. It was a curtain which was an amma thick, to occupy the entire spot. And we concluded with three possible routes that the Kohen Gadol would take going towards the Kodesh HaKadosh. Much hatzlacha to you.